final question for today's call, then, Mark. I have a 26-year-old woman experiencing daily pseudo seizures, mild to extreme. They began 3 years ago after she started counseling for childhood sexual abuse by her stepfather between the ages of 10 and 15 after he split up with her mum. We've had one session and I did very little except listen and do a gentle calming and relaxing hypnosis. She has had lots of therapeutic interventions with little relief, and hypnosis is, in her words, her last hope. Have you any experience with this? I'd appreciate your advice.
Okay, Susan. And so pseudo epileptic seizures, as you know, seem like neurologically caused epileptic fits, but are seemingly caused by psychological factors. So in the old days, at the beginning of psychoanalysis with Freud and everything, lots of all epileptic fits were seen as psychological and concussion and so forth. Whereas the more we learned about physiology, the more we realized that lots of things can be neurological and not necessarily psychological, such as Tourette's and so forth, although they have psychological impacts. But a pseudo seizure is basically a fit or seeming fit that the person has. Not they're not putting it on. If this is the case, but it seems like a genuine fit, and the person's had electroencephalogram readings, EEG scans done on the brain, and there's been no physical cause found. Now the glaringly sort of curious thing here with your client, Susan, is that the seizures started after she started having counselling 3 years ago. And so they think, what was it about the counselling? We always need to ask, when did these seizures start to happen? Okay, so they didn't start to happen when she was being abused. They started 3 years ago, when she was 23, if she's 26 now. And I had one quite similar case to this, and it was a 15-year-old girl who had been having fainting fits, but only at school. And she'd been having them for 2 years since she was 13. And she was getting no sort of seeming benefit from this because her friends were doing sleepovers and she couldn't go on sleepovers. At playtime recess at school, she couldn't go upstairs because she'd fallen down the stairs on one event and hurt herself after one of these fainting fits. So she was alone at playtime because her friends were upstairs for some reason. She'd been on a school trip and she'd nearly drowned on a lake because they'd been on a boat and she'd fallen in after fainting. It wasn't something that she seemed to be getting benefits for. She'd had all these sort of scans you could think of, and nothing was found, and the experts were convinced it was nothing neurological going on here. And she'd had a year of CBT therapy, and she said that had made it worse as well. And I asked her if anything else had happened at the onset of these fainting fits, and she said nobody, had asked her that before, which amazed me. I thought it was kind of an obvious question. And she said that actually, and her mother was there as well, and they both spoke a bit. She was extremely articulate, the 15-year-old girl, but they said that she'd been at she'd they'd had this neighbor, this 70-year-old woman who's very vivacious and joie de vivre and energetic and didn't seem old, seemed very young, and was like a member of the family. And when this girl had been at school one day, this she came back and her father sort of gravely told her that this neighbor had unexpectedly died, and it was extremely horrible for this girl to hear. And then the fits didn't start then, but about a month afterwards, she came back from school again. Notice that school is the is the unifying factor. And her father told her that the family dog had been run over and killed. Okay, and then after that, the seizures had started, and she started fainting. Okay, at school. And I asked her if these memories still really hurt to think about. She said they did, and we rewound those memories so that she could think about them calmly, so forth. And to my amazement, and you always have to pretend not to be amazed when you're a therapist, you know, you have to pretend that you absolutely expected it. But to my amazement, the fits stopped, the fainting fits, the fainting seizures stopped, and she stopped fainting. Not really seizures, but, and so it seemed to be that on a metaphorical level, perhaps she was acting out some kind of, you know, if you think about what fainting looks like, it's falling, it's your eyes are closed, you're insensible, you're not there on one level, and it's happening at school but nowhere else. Now, when she'd been at school, these deaths had occurred, and her brain is trying to somehow process this trauma. I know this sounds a little bit psychobabbly, but once we'd resolved the trauma, and she'd processed the trauma, then she no longer had to metaphorically and unconsciously enact those metaphorical deaths whilst being at school. Okay, it does seem to be the case that that's what was going on. And lots of cognitive behavioral therapy of just examining her thoughts all the time, and didn't really cut it, because she, no one had even spotted, to my amazement, the fact that, you know, what was going on at the onset of the problem, you know. And now, if we think about what happened to your client, and sorry to witter on about myself and my own client, but, you know, a lot of counselling seems to be about getting people to talk and discuss their feelings, which is fair enough for lots of things and can be valuable. And but we know for severely traumatised people, who are about 25% of people who experience a traumatic incident, that talking about it can be the last thing that they need. And can embed the trauma deeper. So if we look at the metaphorical significance of having fits, okay, and this is pure conjecture on my part, you know, or pseudo fits, you know, we see that, you know, during a fit, someone is squirming, okay, they're could almost be avoiding something, they're insensible, like the fainting fits, to hearing other people's point of view, or responding to other people, or communication usually. And it could be seen as an avoidance behavior, you know, manufactured by the unconscious mind to not face something. And because if you're severely traumatized by something, you don't want to talk about it, because your amygdala will just kick off again, and you'll just hypnotically regress to the trauma again, you know, by talking about it. So someone who's severely traumatized cannot discuss it until they're de-traumatized. Okay. So it may have begun, I might be wrong, you know, but it may have begun when and if the counsellor was perhaps probing and asking about some of the traumas that has happened to your client, you know. So you could ask what happened during the counselling, you know, when these seizures started, and what kind of thing was being discussed, without asking about painful things, you know. But, you know, what were you touching upon, difficult things where you know, with the counsellor? You know, what were the circumstances surrounding the genesis, the beginning of these seizures? And then if you find, as I suspect you might, that the traumas are still alive, that she's still traumatized, she hasn't been de-traumatized by any work that the counselor did, then you could seek to gently decondition those memories using whatever method you know best, you know, and or rewind if you know it, but without her having to explore or recount those memories to you in detail at all. Because you don't need to know what happened in order to decondition a traumatic memory. But if you can successfully do this, then I strongly think that the fits will ameliorate, at least, or perhaps stop entirely, as they did with the fainting fits that I described with this young client.